Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 84, the June 2014 previews. Now, in this episode, we're going to be going over some of the items in previews. We're going to be starting at the beginning, working our way to the back. We are obviously not going to go item by item, page by page, publisher by publisher, or anything of the sort. We're just going to hit the highlights. Why? Because, well, this is a 550-page catalog, plus we've got another, 100 and some odd pages of the Marvel previews. And really what it comes down to is with that many pages coming out each and every month, just in the catalog, you can only imagine how many pages and how many actual comic books are coming out each and every month. I'm getting a few dozen a week, and I just like to read, I think is part of it. But finding the right thing for the right people, that's really tough to do these days. It's such a diverse marketplace with the number of comics coming out there. There's a lot of things in different genres, different styles, different creators. Finding what's right for you is going to be different than me finding what's right for me and so forth. So the goal here is to cover as many different things as we can, have as many different people voice kind of what their opinions are, what they're excited about getting and stuff, in the hope that everyone can use that information and find what's right for them. We've got an open submission policy, so anyone can send in clips, and I highly recommend that. We've got one or two creators represented this month, which I think is great, but obviously listeners should send in clips. Retailers, if they would like to, can send in clips, mention their store and stuff. Same with publishers, creators, basically anybody. The goal here is to promote the books because comics are a pre-order business, and this is when it matters. I order through DCBS. I think a lot of the listeners do too. By the time the book comes out, it's almost too late. So again, that's why we're doing all the promotion here a few months in advance. Now, whether you think comics should be a pre-order business or not, well, they're not asking us. I'd rather it wasn't, but it is. So hey, let's live with it. Let's deal with it. Let's help these comics out. Let's get people excited about what's right for them so they can get the maximum enjoyment out of their comic book spending dollar. So with that, let's listen to some clips.
Guys, this is TJ back for another month of previews, and my first selection is in the Dark Horse section on page 38. It's Edgar Allan Poe's Spirit of the Dead hardcover by Richard Corbin, writing and art. 216-page hardcover, and I'm so excited this is finally being put out. I've been a big fan of Richard Corbin for a long time. I just love his art. It's just so creepy. And this is just a collection of all of his Edgar Allan Poe stories. So everything from The Dark Horse Presents, The Conquerworm, The Fall of the House of Usher, The Raven and the Red Death, Morella and the Murderers, and The Rue Morgue. It's Richard Corbin at his best. And so I've never had a bad experience with Richard Corbin, and I'm real excited that all these stories are finally getting collected in a nice Dark Horse hardcover. So if you're interested in that and you've been buying the singles and you're ready to get the beautiful hardcover collection, check out page 38 of the Dark Horse section for Richard Corbin, Edgar Allan Poe's Spirit of the Dead.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 47 of previews. It's Mind Management number 25. Looks like this is of course written and all the art is by Matt Kent, but it looks like it's winding down, like it's going to be, this is going to be the final arc. It may be ending. I have to check into that or not. It says the beginning of the end. It does include a special recap story for all the new readers, so another good jumping on point. But after nearly losing her mind at the hands of the Eraser, Meru begins her final journey to the heart of Mind Management. So this very well may be Matt Kent finishing up his book and moving on to something else, or it just might be him tying up that loose ends with that character. I'm not sure. Either way, this has been a great read. Really fantastic in single issues, so you should check it out on page 47. It is $3.99, 24 pages, goes on sale August 27th. Check it out, please.
My first pick of the month is in Dark Horse. It is pop number 1 of 4, and this is one where the concept just sounds really interesting to me. The basic idea is, what if the world's pop stars and celebrities were literally products grown by the world's wealthiest and most depraved minds, and one of them escaped? I'm assuming they mean one of the pop stars, not one of the world's wealthiest and most depraved minds. The idea, though, of celebrities as products in a very literal sense, presumably bioengineered or whatever, sounds interesting to me. Whether it's going to be something good or not, I don't know. The sample page of art looks very interesting. We've got a 4x4 grid of art. The writer, Kurt Pyers, isn't a name I recognize, but frankly, this is how I find out about some new stuff. I sample stuff. See if I like it. That's 4-issue miniseries. Don't know if I'll pre-order the rest or not, but certainly it's one where the concept is intriguing enough. I'm going to give it a shot, and I think you might want to consider it too. So once again, that's Pop number 1 from Dark Horse. It's on page 51 of previews. It's a comic book page pick of the month, so it's got a 50% discount through DCBS. Check it out.
Hey guys, TJ again with my next selection in the Dark Horse section on page 55, Usagi Yojimbo Saga, Volume 1, Trade Paperback, and Limited Hardcover. So it looks like that Dark Horse is kind of collecting up the individual trades that they've been publishing of the Stan Sakai Usagi Yojimbo series, and they're putting it in this pretty solid 632-page omnibus kind of thing, and it looks like they're going to run through their whole collection. Because I know the Dark Horse is up to, I think, something like 23 or 24 trades for Usagi Yojimbo. Obviously, the first 7 were with Fantagraphics, so if you want to find the beginning of the story, that's where you need to go. But Dark Horse has had quite a run of Usagi Yojimbo, and it looks like they're packaging them up in these big, nice omnibuses. And so this is the first one. So if you want to get on the ground floor of the Dark Horse Usagi Yojimbo stuff, this is where you want to start. And there, obviously, they have a trade paperback version for $24, which is usually about $12 after DCBS discount. And they also have, I think, a signed hardcover version for $80, and I think that might be signed. I'm not sure. But it's basically, you know, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Usagi Yojimbo, and they're kind of collecting volumes 2, number 1 through 16, and volume 3, 1 through 6. So I'm real excited to finally get this in my collection. I usually read these digitally, but I'm looking forward to this collection. So if you're interested, check out page 55 of the Dark Horse section for Usagi Yojimbo Saga Volume 1.
Hey, this is Brawlinator with a pick from Dark Horse on page 65 of the previews catalog. It's the final issue of the ongoing Star Wars series from Dark Horse. Yes, this series, along with Dark Horse's relationship with Star Wars, concludes with issue number 20, featuring stories set just after the destruction of the Death Star in episode 4 of the film saga. Now, I'm going to miss this series. It's been a great, fun book, perhaps too focused on Leia at times, but that's probably just an issue with this series receiving such a limited run. I am very happy that Carlos de Anda is coming back for the last couple of issues because his artwork has been the series' best. In this final issue, Leia risks it all for a friend she hasn't seen since childhood, and Han, Luke, and Chewie risk it all for Leia. Brian Wood and Carlos de Anda say farewell to that galaxy far, far away before they send our heroes to an unknown fate with Marvel Comics and Disney. Pick this up through DCB service for only $1.79. And if you haven't been following the series, it has been collected in a series of 4 trades also from Dark Horse. You can find it all on page 65 of the Dark Horse section of the previews catalog for June 2014.
Hello, one and all. This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my first pick of the month in the June previews catalog is in the Dark Horse section. You'll find it on page 69, and it is Lover Boys, an original graphic novel hardcover from Gilbert Hernandez. The solicit reads, "In the small Palomar-like town of Lagrimas, a young lover boy has a torrid affair with the woman who once was his seventh grade teacher, while three young girls plot to poison the populace. It's a passionate tale as only Gilbert Hernandez, the legendary co-creator of Love and Rockets, can deliver." Now, as I said, this is an original graphic novel, and with many of Hernandez's graphic novels over the past several years, he links them in some way to his stories that he has written with Love and Rockets, the Palomar stories, and also the stories that center in some way on Luba and Luba's family. Many times those novels are linked through Luba's half-sister, Fritz, because she's a B-movie actress, and then the graphic novels become, in a way, kind of adaptations of these B-movies that she stars in. If it sounds confusing, just keep in mind that Gilbert Hernandez has been creating the world of Palomar for three decades, really. So there's a lot of moving parts that go into this. But the only thing that seems to be linked to Palomar for this book is the solicit. Now, it does say that the town that this takes place in, the setting, is a small Palomar-like town. Other than that, I can't see any relation that this has to the Luba stories or to his Palomar comics from the original Love and Rockets series. So this is going to be interesting. He hasn't done anything like this, if this is indeed the case, a novel that's not linked to Palomar in Luba, since I think 2007 with the graphic novel Sloth, and that came out through Vertigo. This one is a Dark Horse book, and it is again on page 69. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get it. And you, if you're not familiar with Gilbert Hernandez's work, I strongly recommend you introduce yourself to it.
Hey guys, TJ back again with my next selection. It's in the Dark Horse section on page 69. It's the Action Philosopher's hardcover, writing by Fred Van Lente and art by Ryan Dunleavy, 352 pages, black and white, for $29.99. And actually, I don't know a lot about this. I know that it's a, I think they say the 10th anniversary edition. It collects the whole thing. But I've heard good things on other podcasts about this series, The Action Philosophers. And I obviously like Fred Van Lente's work. And, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to check this out since I've heard such good things about it. And it's basically, this is the description. Study the tenets of Plato, the wrestling superstar from ancient Greece. Learn the lessons of Nietzsche, the original Übermensch. And meditate on the message of Bodhidharma, a kung fu master. Laugh, learn, and laugh more as Van Lente and Dunleavy deliver this comprehensive cartoon history from pre-Socrates to Jacques Derrida. So it just looks like a fun trip through history, through some of the trying to understand some of the historical figures that we just listed. So, I'm going to check it out. It looks pretty good, and I'm a big fan of one of the creators. So if you've heard good things about Action Philosophers and you're interested, here's a complete hardcover edition of it on page 69 of the Dark Horse section.
Comics for Fun and Profit here with Kyle and Drew. We're in DC.
It's called The Multiversity. Number one, it's written by Grant Morrison, who, of course, is amazing. A legend. Legendary writer. Super creative. Genius guy. I love his stuff.
Genius guy.
This comes out August 20th. It's 48 pages. $4.99. And this is about 52 alternate Earths of the known DC multiverse. There's some interesting images of some unique characters that they're showing us. They refer to a few of them in the solicit. The Vampire League of Earth 43, the Justice Riders of Earth 18, Super Demon, Doc Fate, the Super Sons of Superman and Batman, the Rampaging Retaliators of Earth 8, the Atomic Knights of Justice.
Earth 8?
I didn't know we had
8 Earths, oh my.
We have 52.
That's true.
In this, we have 52 Earths. Sister Miracle, Lady Quark, the Legion of Savannas, the Nazi New Reichsmen of Earth 10, and the latest, greatest superhero of Earth Prime, which is you. I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure what that means.
But it says it comprises 6 complete adventures, each set in a different parallel universe, plus a 2-part framing story and a comprehensive guidebook to the many worlds of the multiverse. Sounds like this is like a master's class of some sort.
Yeah, this is crazy. I mean,
It sounds super inventive.
Yeah, and Grant Morrison's nuts as it is, and then you just kind of take off all parameters and reins from him. It's going to be nuts.
This could be neat.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think there's an appearance by Captain Carrot, so that's that's kind of interesting. I'm psyched for this. I think this.
You've been waiting for this since 2009?
I haven't been waiting for it, but I've heard about it for a while, and it sounds really cool.
But he's out there, and he's not afraid to really mess with what you think you know about the characters you think you know.
This looks really cool, long-awaited. I'm really psyched for it, and I hope it's good. It's going to have tons of variant covers. I think this thing will probably sell through the roof.
And you have a price on that?
$5.
$5.
48 pages, $4.99. The DC section of previews.
And make sure you check out Comics for Fun and Profit at comicsfunprofit.com.
Next up on page 107 is Batman number 34 from DC. This is written by Scott Snyder, and what has me interested in this is Zero Year is over. It's been a wonderful read, but it has lasted a while. We're finally getting Batman back into the present day in his own book, and the events of Batman Eternal have really kind of changed the status quo of Gotham City, and that's going to be what's got ramifications for Batman in this issue. Again, Scott Snyder has been knocking it out of the park with the Batman titles with the New 52, bringing the character back into the present day. I'm just looking forward to. We haven't gotten enough of him there for my taste over the last year or so. So, I think it's worth checking out if for some reason you're one of the few people who aren't getting Batman, which is like one of the best-selling comics out there these days. This should be a good place to consider jumping on. Once again, that's Batman number 34. It's a comic book page, pick of the month, so it's a 50% discount through DCBS. Check it out.
Hey guys, TJ again with my next selection. It's in the DC section on page 118, and it's All-Star Western number 34, the final issue, written by Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti, art and cover by Darwin Cook. I wanted to highlight this. You know, it seems a little strange highlighting a final issue, but I've just been a huge fan of All-Star Western, and I am definitely sad that this is the end of it, at least for this incarnation in the New 52. But I'm a huge fan of Darwin Cook's art and the fact that he's doing the whole issue. And, you know, I just like the way he really stylized his style. And I also just am a big fan of All-Star Western. It's just a different, you know, having a Western in the New 52 is something that, you know, poked its head up early for me. And I really took note of it. And it's just a different, you know, sometimes we talk about how the big two have these books, all these books that are relatively the same, or they're all superhero books and things like that. And to have something different like All-Star Western was something I looked forward to every month. So if you're interested in Darwin Cook art and also the last issue of All-Star Western, check out page 118 of the DC section.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative blog and podcast. My next pick of the month is in the Vertigo section, and this is on page 142. Fables, the Deluxe Edition, Book 9. I've been an avid Fables reader almost but not quite from the very beginning, and I do get the individual issues. I don't get the trades, and I know that that's how many people get their Fables shot, that they wait for the trades to come out, and I think that's great. If you wait a little longer, though, at least now, you can get these really nice hardbound deluxe editions, and as I said, we're up to book 9 in the next few months. It'll come out in October, and these are really nice volumes to have. So when I double dip, I don't double dip with the individual issues and then the trades. I double dip with the individual issues and then these nice deluxe editions. In fact, on a very recent episode of the Comics Alternative, it's a roundtable discussion, we discussed this whole concept of trade waiting and the pros and cons of getting individual issues over trades or deluxe editions like this. I'm going to opt for both because these books are really good, and this one in particular is going to be interesting in that it includes issues 70 through 82 of Fables. And this is where you have the final showdown between Fableland and the Adversary. And if you're familiar with Fables, you know who the Adversary is. So if you're a reader of Fables like I am, or if you want to introduce yourself to the Fables universe, and I strongly recommend that you do, you can start by looking at these Fables Deluxe Editions, And for book 9, you can find the solicit on page 142 of the catalog in the Vertigo section.
Hey guys, this is TJ with my next selection in the Vertigo section on page 145. It is Why the Last Man, book 1, trade paperback. Written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Pia Guerra and Jose Marzan. This is kind of, Vertigo recently has been doing this thing where they've been packaging their kind of perennial series up, like Preacher, this coming Why the Last Man, and Ex Machina, and a few others. And they've basically been doing is putting two of the slimmer 5-issue trade paperbacks together into a new trade paperback and pricing them pretty cheaply. So this is, you know, basically 10 issues for $19.99, and they have it for 50% off. So for $10, you get 10 issues of Why the Last Man. And I actually loved this story when I first read it, but I don't have the collected edition because I didn't like the hardcovers because they had the newsprint. I'm not a huge fan of the newsprint, but these new, you know, double-sized trade paperbacks have the glossy paper that I like on. So if that's something you're interested in, check out page 145 in the Vertigo section for Why the Last Man, book 1.
Next up on page 181 from IDW is Star Trek New Visions number 2. I'll be honest, I'm a little unclear if the title is Time's Echo or Core, because it's got Time's Echo on the cover and on the solicit, but in the description it refers to Core. Little confusing. Regardless, what this is John Byrne's photo manipulation comic. He's doing the right and the art, which is serious photoshopping, and he is taking original classic Star Trek with Shatner and company and recompiling the images and creating a whole new story out of these things. We've gotten two of these so far. They've been a lot of fun. If you're into old school original Trek and wished they had made more episodes, this is as close as you're going to get. John Byrne knows this era of Trek really well. He's got a passion for it. It really shines through in these things. It's a lot of fun. These things are a little expensive. They're $7.99. They are 48 pages. So really, I guess, compared to, you know, a 20-page, $3.99 book at Marvel, they're not that expensive in terms of per page or whatever. But I can see where some people might be a little gun-shy. I really recommend these if you're into this kind of stuff, in terms of, again, classic Trek with Shatner and company. John Byrne is doing a great job recapturing that style, that tone, the storytelling. Again, it's like the series is continuing. This is a comic book page pick of the month, so it's a 50% discount through DCBS. That does bring that price down to $3.99, making it a little bit more palatable. It's all of these are single episode, essentially, so you can come in at any point. So don't feel like you've got to go get that first issue to find out what's going on. So once again, Star Trek New Visions number 2 on page 181 from RDW. Check it out. Next up on page 196 from Image Comics is Imperial number 1 of 4. This is about a guy who's got a decision to make. Does he get married, or does he become the world's only superhero replacing the Imperial? And they've got, and I'm really glad they did this, 3 pages of art, full size, in previews on page 197, 8, and 9. The concept here sounded intriguing to me. The couple of pages of art and dialogue and captions and stuff really sold me on it. This is about essentially, a regular guy about to get married, and he's been picked to replace the superhero of this universe, this world, Earth or whatever here. And does he do it? Does he not? What goes on? How does it work? It seems interesting to me. It's a different take on superheroics. It's a mini-series, 1 of 4, meaning they've got a game plan of beginning, middle, and end, hopefully. I'm looking forward to that. It just looks like a lot of fun. This is one that I'm going to pre-order the whole thing and hopefully enjoy it all. So once again, that's Imperial number 1 of 4 from Image Comics. It's a $3.50 book. It is a comic page pick of the month, so we've got that at a 50% discount. Looking at the DCBS order form, though, it has it listed at $2.99. So that may bring the price all the way down to $1.49. I'm not sure if the correct price is $2.99 or $3.50. Either way, we've got the 50% discount through DCBS. It looks interesting to me. They've got a couple of pages of story and art here. I really like it when they do that because that gives you enough information, usually, to determine if it's the right kind of tone and style for you. For me, it looks really good. So I'm going to check it out, and I think you should too. Next up on page 202 is Genius number 1 of 5 from Image Comics. This is obviously a 5-issue miniseries. It is also a weekly miniseries. This is one of those types of things where, because of how quickly it's coming out, it's really important to make a decision early as to do you want to pre-order it all or do you not. This is one I'm going to pre-order all 5 issues, and let me tell you why. This came out of the original pilot season that Top Cow did back in 2008. Now, if you want to hear what I thought of the book back then, go check out Weekly Comic Spotlight number 45. Yes, 45. That's 300 plus weeks ago that thing came out. It was a really good one-shot and really set it up for a fun, you know, continued story after that. And we're finally getting that. It's only been 6 years or so, which is just ridiculous. But they're finally doing it. I'm looking forward to it. It's essentially a basic concept is you've got a great military mind in the form of somebody in South Central LA. She's a girl living there, and she decides the couple of blocks she lives in, they're going to secede from the Union. And they make a pretty good go of it in the pilot season one shot. I don't know if the plan is to somehow make that available to people or if they're just going to recap it at the beginning and kind of go from there. It's worth checking out that issue, though, because, again, it was just some really good stuff. Again, check out Weekly Comics Spotlight number 45 for that, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. I'm checking right now to see if it's available on mycomicshop.com, and it is in stock for $1.30. You cannot go wrong with that. It was a $3.99 issue back when it first came out. They've got it for $1.30. Hell, they've got it. That's in very fine. They've got it for $1 in fine condition. Check that out. It's worth the read. This should continue well from that. They've got 4 pages of story and art on page 203, so they're a little smaller than the couple of pages we got over on Imperial. But I'm looking forward to this. This was a really good read. It won that pilot season. It's just taken them a while to actually get it out. So this will be released on August 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th. You'll note I'm listing 4 weeks for a 5-week book. That's right, issues 4 and 5 are both coming out on August 27th. That just seems silly to me, but whatever. Again, this is a long time in coming. It was a really good read. Check out Weekly Comics Spotlight 45 if you want to hear what I thought of the pilot season issue back when it came out. So, once again, Genius number 1, it's a $3.99 comic, it's weekly, it's 5 issues, it is on page 202 from Image Comics. It is a comic book page pick of the month for the first issue. That puts that down to $1.99, definitely worth checking out.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative. My next pick of the month is in the Image section of the catalog. You'll find this on page 212. It's an original graphic novel, Displaced Persons. This is written by Derek McCullough, and the art is by Anthony Peruzzo. The solicit reads thus, San Francisco, the 20th century. In 1939, a private detective searches for a missing heiress. In 1969, twin brothers approach a drug heist from opposite sides of the law. And in 1999, a woman slowly comes to realize the terrible danger she faces in her own home. The Eisner-nominated writer Derek McCullough and artist Anthony Peruzzo. From them come Displaced Persons, a riveting tale of murder, love, crime, friendship, betrayal, and just the slightest bit of time travel. There are a couple of things that draw me to this. Well, first and foremost, this is written by Derek McCullough, who is the writer of 2 phenomenal books, Staggerly and then Gone to America. If you're not familiar with his work, you definitely have to read both of those. Staggerly is fascinating because it basically is the classic Staggerly legend. And what they do in that story is to tell the Stagger Lee story, but also discuss the culture, specifically the musical culture, surrounding the Stagger Lee legend. And so they reference the many, many, many different versions of Stagger Lee. And then Gone to America is an immigration story about Irish immigrants who come to the United States, and it can get a little ghostly, literally, at times. Now, I think Gone to America is a great segue to discussing this new book, Displaced Person, because another big draw about this graphic novel is that it deals with time travel, and you get a lot of that in Gone to America. Derek McCullough is really good when it comes to taking his narrative and placing it in different time periods, and then in various ways bringing them, those different times, together into a cohesive, larger narrative. So Displaced Person seems to be in the same vein. I'm very much on board for this, and you can find out more about it, including a cover image on page 212 of the catalog.
Hey guys, TJ with my next selection in the Image Comics section on page 213. It's The Fuse, Volume 1, The Russia Shift Trade Paperback. Story by Anthony Johnson, art by Justin Greenwood. 22,000 miles up, there is no backup. Working homicide in an orbiting energy platform in a 5-mile-long jury-rigged steel city stuffed with 500,000 people and no help from your so-called colleagues back on Earth is more than tough. It's murder. So this is kind of a pretty interesting police procedural in space, and I'm a big fan of Anthony Johnson. This is one of those $9.99 first 6-issue Image trades I'm interested in trying out. I read Johnston's other stuff, Umbral and Wasteland, and I just really like the way he tells stories, the way he creates complicated characters, and his narrative is complicated, and I like that. I like to be challenged when I read comics, and he does a good job of that. So if you're interested in more Anthony Johnston and you want to check out Detective in Space, try The Fuse, Volume 1 on page 213 of Image.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Image on page 231 of the previous catalog. It's Sex Criminals, number 8, story by Matt Fraction with art by Sir Chetley Zippers. Yes, I'm not familiar with Sir Chetley's work, but I'm sure he's fantastic. This comes out August 20th, 32 pages, $3.50. Of course, this is a mature plus title, so whatever mature title normally is, add some pluses to it, because this goes into that area. This is really a hilarious book, but it does have mature themes. The creators encourage you to come along and laugh and love with the Eisner Award-nominated Sex Criminals by Matt Fraction, who of course has done Satellite Sam and Hawkeye. And this issue has a special guest artist, Chip Zdarsky, because of course, as we saw in the solicit, the normal artist is Sir Chetley Zippers. Chip Zdarsky, of course, in his parentheses of his work is Spawn and The Walking Dead, but it does have a little asterisk that says he's just an avid reader of those titles, so he's not that well known, I guess. This is, once again, Matt Fraction having a lot of fun with his solicit. This book is really funny. The trade is out if you haven't checked it out. But again, very mature, but a lot of fun. I wish Matt was having this much fun on Hawkeye. It's really a good read, and I encourage you to check it out. It's on page 231 of the Image section of Previews.
This is Comics for Fun and Profit with Kyle and Drew, and our pick is in Marvel on page 27. Yeah, I was flipping through the Marvel's guide, and it has a Superior Spider-Man number 32 in it.
What?
And I thought 31 was the end of it.
Yeah.
And so it's a picture of, you know, it's got a really cool cover of looks like Otto's Superior costume.
The Spidey with the arms out the back of it.
Yeah, it's got some cool interior art pictures. This is Dan Slott and Christos Gage doing the writing. Giuseppe Camicoli and Adam Kubert doing the art. There's a cover by Camicoli with an interlocking variant by Scotty Young. It looks really cool. It's 40 pages, $4.99. The solicit says, Superior Spider-Man kicks off the edge of the Spider-Verse. Extra size, monumental issue, including a story drawn by living legend Adam Kubert. How is the Superior Spider-Man still around? Where is he? What is he doing? The Road to the Spider-Verse starts here. Those are my questions, too.
Should I spoil any of this with what I have found in an online solicit?
Sure, I'd like to know what's going on.
I mean, yeah. I was excited for this and, you know, go back to the future with Superior Spider-Man 32 and 33 as Otto Octavius finds himself stranded in the year 2099 with no way home.
Huh.
Yeah. So,
time travel type of deal?
Somehow he is in 2099. Is he still Parker in 2099? Where's
his consciousness? Where did his consciousness go, I wonder?
And how did it do what it needed to do?
And how did it get there? That's kind of cool. It's still, I like the character, so yeah. I wonder what body he's in.
Yeah, and it's intriguing because, you know, it's part of the thing that made Octavius a good Spider-Man is he's, you know, he's a genius and he's got a grasp on technology. But if you shove him 80 years into the future where technology has circumceded most of what he knows, is he going to be effective anymore?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in. I'm reading him. I liked Superior. I like it. I like Octavius more than Peter Parker. You know that. So I'm definitely going to read these. I'm intrigued.
So Comics for Fun and Profit recommends on page 26 and 27 of the Marvel's Previews Guide, Superior Spider-Man number 32. He's back.
Next up on page 52 of the Marvel Previews is Guardians of the Galaxy Annual number 1. This is by Brian Michael Bendis and Frank Cho. Now, it is an annual. It should be a done-in-one story, which means it doesn't give Brian Michael Bendis time to get decompressed, which I always like when he doesn't have time, just to be clear. It's Frank Cho art. How can you possibly go wrong with this? They've got some sample stuff here on page 53 of the Marvel Previews. It looks great. The concept here is a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier shows up out of nowhere in space. It looks like we're also going to get the classic Nick Fury here, so not even sure if it's a current S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier or not. Either way, a helicarrier in space, Frank Cho, it looks great. I'm looking forward to this. Definitely think you should check it out. It is 40 pages. It is $4.99. Comics are getting expensive these days. This is a comic book page pick of the month, dropping that price down through DCBS to $2.49. Still not cheap, but it's at least within the ballpark of almost reasonable and stuff. I mean, it's highly reasonable by today's prices. I just think comics are getting way expensive. Anyways, this looks like a lot of fun. You also get the bonus digital edition included in there. That's always, I suppose, nice. Frank Cho, Brian Michael Bendis, Guardians of the Galaxy, done in one story, hopefully. A S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier showing up. Should be a lot of fun. Check it out.
Hey guys, TJ back again with my next selection. This is in the Abstract Studios section on page 248 of the previews. This is Terry Moore's SIP Kids, number 1, with writing and art by Terry Moore and color by Steve Haymaker. It says, they're back. The Strangers of Paradise gang returns in their first all-new full-color story since 2007 as six-year-olds. Francine and Cachou comb the neighborhood for a missing peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but Darcy bribes Tamby to find it first, and every suspect reeks of PB&J. Meanwhile, the mysterious kissing bandit seems unusually fixated on Francine, and Casey launches an all-out attack on David's no-girls treehouse. So this is 24 pages for $4.99, which seems a little bit on the expensive side, but it is, you know, Terry Moore, and he's a one-man shop doing this all himself. And I think the, you know, $4.99 versus $3.99 probably has to do with the fact that he has to pay a colorist. So I'm pretty interested in this. I always give Terry Moore a shot, no matter what stuff he has, and I always want to make people aware. You know, the back half of the catalog oftentimes gets overlooked. So if you're interested in Stranger in Paradise story, a new one from Terry Moore, and you want to see something in color from him, this is a good opportunity. It's Strangers in Paradise Kids number 1 on page 248 of the catalog.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. My next pick of the month is on 248 of the catalog. This is in the Abstract Studios section. That's right, Abstract Studios. We have more than one title there. Lately, it's been only Rachel Rising, but actually there's two. Along with issue number 28 of Rachel Rising, you'll find a solicit for SIP Kids, number one. If you're familiar with Terry Moore's work, you know that SIP stands for his legendary series, Strangers in Paradise. And also, if you're familiar with Strangers in Paradise, you know that there hasn't been a Strangers in Paradise story, a new one at least, since 2007. Well, they're back. The Strangers in Paradise gang returns in their first all-new full-color story since 2007. But they're here as six-year-olds. Here you'll find Francine and Cachou comb through the neighborhood for a missing peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but Darcy bribes Tambi to find it first, and every suspect reeks of PB&J. Meanwhile, the mysterious kissing bandit seems unusually fixated on Francine. I wonder why. And Casey launches an all-out attack on David's No Girls Treehouse. I'm going to get this because I'm a big fan of Terry Moore. I love Strangers in Paradise. Although I have to admit, I'm a little hesitant. I have usually a personal policy of no little comics or no kids or young kids type comics where creators basically take adult mature figures and they make them into these cute little kids to appeal to, I don't know, however many different audiences. It's fine. A lot of people like it. Things like Little Hellboy, Little Vampirella. Here we have SIP Kids. But even though this does subscribe to this little comics philosophy, I'm going to give this a gander because it is Terry Moore. In fact, I just recently interviewed Terry Moore on the Comics Alternative blog, and he mentions that he's about to come out with a new Strangers in Paradise comic, kids-related. And so this is it. SIP Kids number one. You'll find it on page 248 of the catalog.
Next up on page 249 is Shinobi Ninja Princess number one from Action Labs Entertainment. This is done by friend of the show, Martheus Wade. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. It has been far, far too long since we've gotten anything starring Jetta. Now, this is a prequel to Jetta. Jetta was published back in, 2004. So, like I said, way too long. Martheus had a really great idea with this. He has doing a prequel. This is starring the 14-year-old ninja princess, Shiandra Toshigawa, and I apologize if I mispronounced that, Martheus. What better way to bring back a character or whatever, but to do it as a prequel to where it's really taking place before all the other work, therefore it ought to be very accessible to new readers. And the style here also looks to be a lot more manga, anime kind of influenced and such. And frankly, I think there's a lot more of a market for this kind of material now than there probably was 10 years ago. But I'm looking forward to it. Even without the Jetta connection, this just looks like a really fun series. Again, like the art we're getting on the covers here on page 249. The basic idea is she's a young Japanese woman born into the Toshigawa ninja clan, kind of trapped between wanting to just be a normal person, live a normal life, and her destiny as the Chosen One. Now, whenever somebody starts referring to you as the Chosen One, a little bit of pressure gets built in right there, regardless of what you've been chosen to do. So this has a lot of Japanese culture, lore, and just some good action adventure stuff. And I think as a 14-year-old, we'll get some of just the teen angst as well. Again, I've known Anton for years. Looking forward to this coming out. I think it's he's a great creator. I've got a lot of respect for him and such. Glad he's bringing this property back. I think this is a great way to bring the character back. Because again, if people haven't read Jetta, there's no reason for them to feel that they have to understand this. This is again a prequel taking place years before all of that. It should be very accessible, very much worth getting. And again, I just like supporting friends who are doing comics and such. It's just fun to be able to do that. So, once again, that's Shinobi Ninja Princess number one from Action Labs Entertainment. It is a $3.99 cover price. It is, of course, a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS, bringing that down to $2.19. Please check it out. Please support Martheus and stuff. He's doing just some great work. He's a great guy. Definitely deserves our support. So check it out.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my pick and the back half of previews from on page 274 from Big Dog Inc. It's Critter number 23, written by Tom Hutchinson, art by Fico Osio. And we reviewed this book, issue 20, the dollar version of Critter, on a weekly comic spotlight. I really liked it. Thought they were doing some interesting stuff, and I wanted to give them more of a chance. So I am going to continue with this book a little bit and see what it's all about. This one, Critter has returned home after the events of last issue. The world feels a little simpler now, but it's all as it seems. This is 24 pages, full color for $3.50 from Big Dog Inc. If you recall from the review, this kind of came out of nowhere. I really liked it. Thought it was great. A lot of fun. So you guys should check this out. Get that dollar issue if you can. It's on page 274 of the back half of previews.
Hey, this is the Brawlinator with a pick from page 299 in the Boom Studios section of the June edition of previews, and that is Big Trouble in Little China, issue number 3. The Pork Chop Express rides again, and Jack Burton is taking over the top of my read pile these days. If you love the movie, this series is the sequel you never got. Eric Powell of The Goon has been unleashed on one of the most beloved movies John Carpenter ever made, and the result is utter insanity, the best kind. Now, the tone and flavor of the movie is captured almost perfectly in this book, and this is most likely due to the involvement and story input from the original creator, John Carpenter. Now, this features classic Jack Burton, most of the characters we love, and fun action scenes all rendered in an art style that fits this material perfectly. Now, the first issue or two, I don't know that it's going to win over any new fans, but I don't think it's trying to, as it seems to be more of a love letter to the fans of the original movie. And might I add that it is one of the best film-to-comic properties in recent memory. You can't give it too much credit for originality because it owes everything to its source material, which isn't a bad thing at all. Unfortunately, I think Big Trouble in Little China is one of those books that may fly under the radar for a lack of spandex. But the series so far is funny and highly recommended. Check out Big Trouble in Little China, issue number 3 on page 299 in the June edition of Previews.
Hey guys, it's TJ with my last pick for the month. This is in the Boom section in the Archaea subsection on page 291. It's the Collector Hardcover by Sergio Tappi. And it says, far from the auction halls of the elite, the collector seeks out rare, mysterious artifacts across the world. He is as at home in the saloons of Paris as he in the jungles of Borneo. Sit against the backdrop of late 19th century colonialism, the collector is a delightful, swashbuckling adventure. I'm just a huge fan of Sergio Tappi's art. You know, I've been trying lately to get into more of the European comics and sequential art. You know, I've been looking a lot more humanoid stuff, but I've been a huge fan of any time Archaea puts out a nice hardcover of their European artists. I usually try to pick it up, and I have not been let down, especially by Sergio Tappi. The last thing I picked up from them was the Shiraz Day Tales from the Arabian Nights hardcover, and that was gorgeous, and the art is just... You know, you just sit there. You don't even have to read the story. You can just gaze at the art for hours, and I just love it. And they also have a few preview art pages down here if you want to check out his style. But I'm just a big fan of Sergio Tappi, and this is the complete Collector hardcover. You know, 8.5 by 11 in black and white, 256 pages. And I'm looking forward to it. If you're an Indiana Jones fan, a Five Ghosts fan, or Doc Savage fan, this is right up your alley. So check out this oversized hardcover from Sergio Tappi, The Collector, on page 291 of the Boom section.
Hello, this is Martin Piero with Cosmic Times. I'm calling about our book, Giant Robot Warrior Maintenance Crew. It's a tongue-in-cheek action comedy story about a giant robot. But instead of focusing on the pilots, it focuses on the maintenance crew that work inside its belly. This will be the first of 3 issues, each $2.99, and will also be the first book that we have ever had in the previews catalog. The listing for our book is on page 303 of the previews catalog, and we're also listed on 345 as a staff pick. More information about Cosmic Times and Giant Robot Warrior Maintenance Crew can be found at cosmictimes.net. Thanks.
As a lot of you guys know, I'm a big fan of Power Rangers and the Super Sentai stuff. So I'm looking forward to Giant Robot Warrior's Maintenance Crew. It just seems like a lot of fun. Because in those shows, the giant robots, they get trashed every week. Oftentimes, particularly in the Sentai shows over in Japan, you'll see all these maintenance crews who are just quietly working behind the scenes to, you know, rebuild these things every week or what have you. So having a series that kind of focuses on that aspect of it versus the guys who get the glory and just happen to fly around and crash the thing up and get it destroyed looks like a lot of fun. It has a 30% discount through DCBS, so it'll only be $2.09 through there. This is the first book these guys have through previews, so how it sells is going to determine how many other books that really they can put out through previews. So let's throw our support behind them. If this is something you're interested in, I know it's something I'm going to be checking out. Thanks for sending in the clip, Martin.
Hey, this is Brawlinator with a pick from 312 in the Dynamite section of previews this month, and that is Captain Victory and the Galactic Rangers number 1. The writer is Joe Casey, and many of the listeners may be familiar with his work, as he's written everything from Uncanny X-Men, Alpha Flight, Hulk, Thunderbolts, The Flash, Superman, and most recently created and written The Bounce and Sex from Image Comics. In this title, Casey is tackling Captain Victory, which is a creation that was originally written and drawn by Jack King Kirby for Pacific Comics back in 1981. This new title follows that six-issue mini that Dynamite did back in 2011 called Kirby Genesis. So once again, another Kirby creation is getting the all-star treatment from its latest publishing home at Dynamite Entertainment. I expect this to be more terrifying monsters and madmen in space. This all-new series is coming this July from writer Joe Casey and an army of artists. Issue number 1 is $3.99, but you can get it for only $1.99 through a 50% discount at DCB Service. That's a great price for a new number 1. That's Captain Victory and the Galactic Rangers number 1 from Dynamite on page 312 of the latest previews.
This is Brandon, and my pick for this month is Steampunk Battlestar Galactica, 1880, number 1 of 4. Dynamite came out with Legendary, which was a steampunk adaptation of all their licensed characters, like the Green Hornet. Well, this time they're using the classic Battlestar Galactica storyline and giving everything a little steampunk modification. So you have Archduke Adama, Professor Baltar, and also Clockwork Cylonix. So this appears to be Dynamite's new niche into comic book, taking all their licensed characters and giving them a steampunk modification and adapted storyline. I am definitely curious to read this. I am liking Legendary, so I am willing to put down the money for all 4 issues of this miniseries.
Next up on page 323 is Solar Man of the Atom number 5. This was one of the characters that really kicked off the original Valiant run back in the 90s. Dynamite here is taking the character, going in a totally new direction with it, as well as some of the other Gold Key characters, Turok and Magnus. This is the start of the second arc, and what's interesting here is Erica now has the powers. This is the daughter of the original Solar. So again, when I say they're going in a different direction, they are totally going in a different direction. It's still remaining true to what Solar was, at least at the Valiant period, but not slavishly so. And again, they're not just retreading old ground. I'm really loving what they're doing over at Dynamite with these characters and such. And again, new story arc should be a great jumping on point. New character kind of has the Solar powers, brings a lot to the table in terms of storytelling possibility. It is a $3.99 cover price. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS, bringing it down to $1.99. So once again, Solar Man of the Atom number 5 on page 323 from Dynamite Entertainment. Check it out.
Hey, this is Brawlinator with a pick from page 325 in the Dynamite section of previews for June, and that is $6 Million Man Season 6, Issue Number 6. I grew up in the 70s, had the action figure, and watched this show every week in its original run. I even used to run in slow motion, making the sound effects as I ran. So, of course, I picked up this title from the start, strictly on nostalgia alone. And also for those sweet, sweet Alex Ross covers. And I will admit this series started out a bit clunky, but within the first two or three issues, the writer, James Kahorek, seems to have found his stride, and this title has become a very smooth read, with excellent artwork and plenty of action. This series is a direct follow-up to the classic TV series and pits Colonel Steve Austin and his trusted handler Oscar Goldman against a rogue faction of the OSI. Both Steve Austin and Jamie Summers, the Bionic Woman, are very well written in a title that covers everything from the Cold War aspect to space alien goop and even a brand new villain based on one of the original toys, Masquatron. Although it's based on a TV show, this is more than a generic repeat of the show, and the budget element is definitely not an issue. That particular aspect may not please the Puritans that expect it to mimic the show, but I think it still remains true to the flavor of the original series, and the creative team has definitely got a handle on these main characters. The Solicit calls this issue a startling conclusion to the first arc in a new series of the $6 Million Man. Steve and Jamie must stop the strange alien entity from completing its transmission, but can they overcome the nest of creatures that now inhabits NASA? And somewhere in the California wilderness, Bigfoot awakens. Jump on this series now for $3.99 or $2.59 from DCB Service. That's $6 Million Man, Season 6, Issue Number 6, on page 325 in the Dynamite section of previews.
Next up on page 326 from Dynamite Entertainment is Flash Gordon number 5. This is a new story arc from the same creative team that's been working on it so far, including Jeff Parker, Eric Shanner. They have been doing a wonderful job on this title. It hit the ground running. It got a good launch out of the King's Watch miniseries. But I think even if you hadn't read that, they've kept the series accessible. And we're really seeing the early days of Flash Gordon on Mongo. And in this one, he's going to be battling against the Hawkmen under the rule of Ming, and they've just been telling a really fun action-adventure story. I've seen the Flash Gordon TV show that was on a couple of years back. I've read some comics. I don't have a huge nostalgia or other preconceived interest in this character, if you will. They're winning me on the quality of what they're doing, not just leaning on the pre-existing nostalgia and interest in the character. So it's worth checking out. Again, this is a new story arc. Great place to jump on. Yeah, check it out. It is, again, Flash Gordon number 5. We've got a 50% discount, bringing that cover price from $3.99 down to $1.99 through DCBS. It's on page 326. Check it out.
Derek again from the Comics Alternative blog and podcast. My next pick of the month is in the Fantagraphics section of this month's catalog. You'll find it on page 342. Love and Rockets, New Stories, number 7. Earlier, I had showcased another work from a member of the Love and Rockets team, Gilbert Hernandez, in his new graphic novel, Loverboy, which is coming out in October from Dark Horse. Here we have the annual Love and Rockets, which used to come out serially several times a year, but for the past several years, now it's going on 7, it has been an annual, so it comes out in graphic novel form. It doesn't matter if you've never experienced the Love and Rockets world. I think that the one of the great things about these annuals is that you can jump in. You can just, having never read a Love and Rockets book or comic, you can pick up this new one, for instance, number 7, and just start getting into the swing of things, and then you can fill in the gaps. You can go into the exposition later on. The stories are so engaging that you don't need to have an entire backstory of Love and Rockets from either the worlds that Gilbert or Jaime create. Here in the 7th volume of Love and Rockets, we find Gilbert and Jaime Hernandez writing and drawing at the top of their game. In Jaime's stories, Maggie and Hopi take a road trip to visit a sick friend, while Ray visits some old sick friends of his own. Gilbert offers a suite of stories, including a sweeping epic of Daring Do, in which Fritz as Morgan Le Fay teams up with Aladdin, a World War II sci-fi thriller, and Daughters and Mothers and Daughters, in which flashbacks to Luba's mother Maria reveal how old secrets affect their family today. A couple of things worth noting here is, and if you know anything about the Love and Rocket stories lately, we have what seemed to be some kind of endpoint in the relationship between Maggie and Ray, and that came out in the story that has recently been collected called The Love Bunglers, which is one of the best things that Jaime's ever written. Here we have reference to both Maggie and Ray, maybe in different stories, I'm not certain. So I'm curious to see where their relationship goes from there, the end of Love Bunglers. Also, we have Hopi here, and we haven't seen Hopi, Maggie's friend, in quite a while, at least in a substantive way. Another thing to note is that with Gilbert's contributions in this one story, Daughters and Mothers and Daughters, it's a flashback where we're dealing with Luba's mother, Maria. What's curious about this is last year, Gilbert came out with the first book in a series of, I don't know, two or three, he plans, of this character, Maria. And the series is called Maria M. And so I'm curious to see how this story might figure into his Maria M stories. As I've said earlier in this episode, the thing about both Gilbert and Jaime's worlds is they're elaborate, they're ongoing, they're epic in scope, and there are a lot of moving parts. But at the same time, it's easy for you to jump in and just start moving around and swimming in this narrative world. It's great. You won't regret it. So go out and get number 7, Love and Rockets New Stories, and you can find the solicit on page 342 of the catalog.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from the back half of previews on page 344. This is a Fantagraphics book. It's Hip Hop Family Tree, Volume 1. It's offered again. I was able to pick up the Free Comic Day version, which kind of gives you some snippets out of this volume, and it was really great. It was awesome art, some biographical subject matter, different hip-hop artists and bands from the early 80s. You know, they spent some time on some of the bands that I really liked when I was a kid growing up. I really remembered a lot of these really touch points from the 80s within hip-hop, and it was very nostalgic and well done and interestingly written. So it did everything a Free Comic Book Day should do. Really got me excited about the title and made me hunt it down to buy it. So I really recommend Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 1 by Ed Piskor or Piskor. It is $24.99. Hopefully there's a good discount on that. But this is basically the history of hip hop as told through sequential art. So all the old school artists, some Beasties in there, Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash, all the original hip-hop guys, and then some of the ones that are current today and their early beginnings are touched on a little bit as well. And in the Free Comic Day version, they kind of flip back and forth, and you just got to see just a little bit, enough to get you kind of interested in it, and then they moved on to somebody else. So I'm assuming that this big volume with all, you know, if it's at $24.99, it's pretty thick, so I'm guessing there's plenty more story in there. So I thought it was really great, really piqued my interest. So I recommend Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 1 on page 344 in the Fantagraphics section of previews.
This is Derek again from the podcast and blog, The Comics Alternative, and my final pick of the month is on page 356 of the catalog, and this is in the Liver Right section. Liver Right is associated with Norton, W.W. Norton, and the book is Kill My Mother. This is a graphic novel from the legendary Jules Pfeiffer. Adding to a legendary career that includes a Pulitzer Prize, an Academy Award, Obie Awards, and Lifetime Achievement Awards from the National Cartoonist Society and the Writers Guild of America, Jules Pfeiffer now presents his first noir graphic novel. Kill My Mother is a loving homage to the pulp-inspired films and comic strips of his youth, channeling Eisner's The Spirit, along with the likes of Hammett, Chandler, Kane, John Huston, and Billy Wilder, and spiced with the heft humor for which Pfeiffer is renowned, or the deft humor for which Pfeiffer is renowned. Kill My Mother centers on five formidable women from two unrelated families, linked fatefully and fatally by a has-been hard-drinking private detective. Now, this is also available in a slipcase limited edition of 150 copies, which is signed and numbered by the artist. I'm not going to be able to afford the slipcase limited edition, but I will get Kill My Mother, the original graphic novel. This is great. In fact, maybe the people at Preview should have subtitled this particular issue of the catalog Noir, because we have a number of noir crime and detective comics that are being solicited this month. I mean, one of the most prominent is Brubaker's The Fade Out. And here we have another one, Kill My Mother. Jules Pfeiffer is not known for noir narrative, so I'm curious to see what he does with this. It's also interesting that in the solicit they say that he's channeling Eisner's The Spirit. Pfeiffer used to work with Will Eisner, and in fact, at one point, he even worked on The Spirit, writing The Spirit when Eisner was away at war. So let's see what Pfeiffer can do with this genre. Kill My Mother on page 356 of the catalog.
This is yet another huge month for me. I'm getting, I think, around 216 items this month. About 11 from Dark Horse, 69 from DC, 5 from IDW, 19 from Image, 75 from Marvel, and another 37 from the back half of Previews. And I've still got quite a few things I'm trying to decide if I want to get or not. One or two things I've got on the list, including the Artist Edition this month over at IDW, that, given how much my order's totaling up to, may wind up coming off. I hope not, but you never know. Anyways, I want to thank TJ, Drew, Chris the Braillinator, Martin, Brandon, Derek, and the guys over at Comics for Fun and Profit for sending in clips this month. This episode would be a lot shorter without those clips, so I really appreciate you guys sending in clips. Again, we've got an open submission policy. Comics are a pre-order business. I really think this is the way to let people know what's coming out and do it in a time that actually helps the sales and make sure they can go get those items. Again, like I said, I'm finding plenty of things to get, so I don't think it's a matter of there not being enough material. It's a matter of finding the right stuff for you, and really, the way to do that is just to have more information, to understand what you like and what those comics out there are all about, and if they match what you like. So, again, open submission policy. The order due date this time around is the 18th at local retailers. It is June 25th through DCBS. That's also when the next Previews is released. That means the next deadline is going to be Saturday, July 5th. Yep, that's the middle of the 4th of July weekend. I'm not sure when else to put the deadline, so I'm going to leave it there. It is the morning of. If you need a little bit more time, just email me, let me know. I'm probably going to sleep in that day, but, you know, I don't want to start working on the episode until I've got everything. It just kind of makes my workflow a lot easier. So as soon as the solicits get up, if you can get stuff in early this time, and a lot of people did, and I really appreciate it, but if you can get them in early before the 4th of July weekend, I think that makes everybody's life just a little bit easier. Because it's the 4th of July weekend and things are going to be really busy for me around that time, we're probably not going to do a Previews teleconference. If you guys want to have one, let me know and I'll go ahead and schedule one. Just post something on the forum. Otherwise, we may not. Because I've got to get ready for going to Comic-Con, which is in a couple of weeks after that. And like I said, things are going to be kind of busy for me during that period. Hopefully everybody found something in this Previews that was worth their time and is something they're going to enjoy, because again, it's there to be found, you just got to look for it. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.